Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. My name is Maricela, and today we will be discussing the MSM ban on blood donation, which stands for Men That Have Sex With Men. In this podcast, we have the pleasure of having a fellow MSW student, Sam Naimi. Sam was actually the first person to bring the policy to my attention. I actually worked as a phlebotomist with American Red Cross for a year or so, and I was not aware of the policy. But I do recall it being a question in the questionnaire donors were required to take in order to qualify to donate blood. So it really did bring me to realize how in my own environment I really am. This disqualification doesn't affect me personally, so I'm unaware of it. But I feel that this is why it's not a hot topic. However, it is clear discrimination, and how it's gone on for so long shocks me. But we will get to that later in the podcast. I would like to start by thanking you, Sam, for joining us today. I really feel that you bring a great perspective to this podcast, not only as a fellow student of the MSW program, but also as an openly gay man.
Hi, Maricela. Thank you so much for having me today. It means a lot that you're talking about the subject. I think it's something that a lot of people do not know about, and I think it's a very important thing that they really should know about, because it affects so many people, and it's such a quiet, borderline illegal policy that discriminates against such a huge community. So thank you very much for bringing light to this subject through this podcast. It's such a pleasure to be here.
How was it that you came to know of this policy, and how do you feel it affects the LGBT community?
I think I first heard about this law maybe in high school or the very beginning of college. I think I was watching a documentary actually on Netflix, and this was pre-gay marriage, gay equality through marriage. And I remember, I know a lot about the AIDS crisis and the AIDS scare and the effects it's had on our society, even to this day. And I feel that this is really just another ingrained section in our society that shows how we have been inculcated with really deep homophobia still. I mean, how can one person's blood type based on a socially constructed identity affect another person? This is highly illogical. I mean, I'm gay. My sexuality is fluid, and this could change throughout my lifetime. Maybe I will fall in love with a woman, who knows? It's not a strict, absolute thing, my sexuality. So I don't understand why the law sees it as thus and thinks that just because I identify as gay now, my blood is axiomatically different than a straight person's blood type. I mean, that's just, I believe that's very illegal, and I am quite abhorred by the fact that this is still a policy. I think it affects us by us, my community, the LGBTQ community, by making us feel as if we are second-class citizens. I mean, when we have national blood drive days, this eliminates 10% of the population to participate. I can't even donate blood to my family members if I wanted to, in case of an emergency. I mean, how crazy is that? I feel as if this renders me as invisible, as a citizen of the United States. And this is absolutely discrimination still, based on a very old, antiquated, and discriminatory law practice. It's absurd.
Although I am not part of the LGBT community, I feel that there has been so many struggles against the LGBT community that singling them out yet again is just disgusting in a time where we have technology on our side, and that there are multiple ways to not even need this ban at all.
I totally agree with you, Maricela. There have been so many struggles with this community, and we've been singled out so many times. I mean, we have made much progress, especially with marriage equality, but we really do not need this ban at all. It's antiquated, it's discriminatory, and it means nothing to us. Blood type has nothing to do with sexuality, and sexuality, as we know, is an extremely fluid concept, and the MSM law, which stands for Men Who Have Sex With Men, really is so unfair. I mean, what if you're a straight man who happens to have sex with a man experimentally? That completely, A, signifies that the law recognizes sexuality as fluid, but still discriminates based on the body type that you have sex with, and B, it's just absurd. I mean, we also recognize gender as a socially constructed thing, and even sex in a particular sense. We ascribe a label to a body type, and that's a social decision. This is all, sexuality, gender, and sex altogether are all social constructs, and there is no need for the law to say otherwise, and the law has no right to say otherwise, and yet it continues to do so for so many years. So, yes, I'm angry, and thank you again for just bringing this to light. I mean, it's such an important topic, and it affects so many people.
The ban was originally set in place in the 80s due to the HIV/AIDS epidemic. Back then, we had no effective way to test for the virus. And when it was first set, it was a lifetime ban for men that had sex with men. Since then, the FDA has changed the policy to a 12-month ban, which was only recently changed in 2015. The argument is that it's not discriminating because it is not a ban on gay or bisexual men. It's a ban on the, and I'm using air quotes, risky behavior they may be involved in.
According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, all blood donation is tested for hepatitis B, C, and HIV. The CDC also claims that any blood transmission of HIV was prior to screening of the blood supply. But prior to the policy being amended in 2015, just 8 years ago, there were 284 individuals that reported with AIDS through blood transfusions. So that comes to show that it's not only men that have sex with men that should be considered risky, right?
Definitely. I do not know the specific statistics, but I mean, let's be real. Straight people can absolutely contract HIV. How is it logical to ban a specific community knowing this fact that HIV affects everyone, regardless of gender or sex or sexuality? This shows, thus again, how discriminatory it is, and it's singling out people because of one single identity that the law creates as their single defining identity. Illogical, discriminatory, borderline illegal, and infuriating.
Also, we're in 2018. We have improved our testing so much where it's up to 99.9% effective. So why not just test all the blood and not decline the opportunity to specific individuals?
I totally agree with you. That's an excellent question. I mean, I don't have an answer to it, of course. I'm not one of the lawyers or judges who've made this into effect, put this into effect. But I agree. We are in 2018. We have improved our testing to the point at which it's 99.9% effective to control and test for HIV and / AIDS. So why not just test all the blood? I think you have an excellent point, Maricela, and I think this is a question that needs to be posed to those in power who control this law, to be quite honest.
I read this article on the Infectious Disease Advisor website by Tori Rodriguez, MALPC, in which she mentioned the 2016 shooting in Florida at the Pulse Club. It was a gay nightclub that killed 49 people. That impacted everyone. I mean, I recall being in Vegas watching the news in the middle of the night in complete shock. As I can imagine, it impacted the LGBT community more. In the article, it mentioned how the LGBT community wanted to donate blood for the surviving victims, but the majority were denied the opportunity. I cannot imagine going through the horror they went through and then to be denied the only opportunity they have to help. It was like victimizing them twice. It's not only victimizing and discriminating individuals, but would you rather have an individual die due to not having enough blood than to give them a blood from a willing donor that is asking to be able to help?
Maricela, I'm so glad you brought up the Pulse event. I mean, it's horrendous. How can we not be able to donate blood to our own community at the single most tragic event in gay history? I think that's completely absurd and beyond infuriating. I mean, we have our own members dying and the law is saying that we cannot help them. It is double victimization and it's completely illogical again. I think that's an excellent, excellent fallacy that you've really shown to us right now, and I'm really glad this is being highlighted.
It's appalling that men having sex with men is considered risky behavior in this day and age. Back in the 80s, maybe that argument can hold up. Because there was an epidemic, we were not as educated on HIV as we are now or on protection. But in 2018, we are all aware of protection and HIV. And to that matter, men having sex with men is not the only way to contact HIV. Most of the arguments are what-if situations. So, let's look at it in their view. What if a straight woman slept with a man without using protection? What if that man got HIV from another woman? It is discriminatory to say that just men having sex with men is risky. How many times have we seen men in politics who are married with kids coming out after a picture of them with another man has been leaked? There's this activist I came across. His name is Mark King. He is an openly gay man who is HIV positive. He was diagnosed in 1985 when the epidemic started. He advocates the stigma against HIV is still strong. I was reading an article in which they quoted him, and I feel he said it best. He said, I understand this primal fear that has been embedded in our consciousness for two generations, but we should not be penalized as people who want to contribute to public health as much as anyone else. And he is right. The fear of HIV is as strong as ever, but no matter how they twist it, the MSM ban is discriminating against gay and bisexual men only. There is women and straight men that are HIV positive. And there are individuals that practice more risky behaviors than a man having sex with another man.
Maricela, thank you so much for having me today. I think it's so, so important, the fact that you're bringing all of this into public attention. I'm so glad we are making this podcast. Thank you for having me again. And to reiterate, I mean, this is a law that's based in historical homophobia, and it perpetuates this very homophobia by keeping in mind that this, not keeping in mind, by perpetuating this idea that anal sex between gay men is risky behavior. And this is a podcast. I'm using air quotes right now because it's freaking ridiculous to call that risky behavior. And I'd like to restate again this very fact that only 34% of gay men have anal sex. And that is where the fear comes from in contracting AIDS, anal sex. Yet where is the other 66% of gay men who do not have anal sex? How are they not allowed to donate blood? Again, completely illogical. Thank you so much, Maricela. It's been a pleasure to be here. I think this is an excellent podcast that you've created, and I look forward to many more discussions about this. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me again today, Sam. I really hope this podcast helps others understand that this ban is a problem, and I hope that it helps bring change in the future.